Hello and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast. I'm your host, Ben Heck.
I'm Jones.
And I'm Parker again.
I tell you what, guys, I'm so relieved that Mass Effect Andromeda is apparently a letdown. Because I got so tired of you guys saying, hey, you should play Mass Effect. And I was like, you know what? Fine. I'll buy the new one just so you guys shut up about it. But then when I heard it was not so good, I was like, oh, good. I have an excuse not to buy it. So I can continue to not play Mass Effect.
You should still play the first three.
Just grow a fucking pair and play the first three.
You can play on your Xbox. Did they re-release it for the Xbox One? Or is it still on the 360?
No. See, if they would remaster it. Then you probably could like compel him easier, but
I don't like playing remaster games either.
What do you like, Ben?
Beer.
Games with the name Battlefield in it. No matter how boring they are.
No, I downloaded Prey. I just haven't. I was gonna play it, but I haven't yet. I play other games sometimes.
Oh, the game called Battlefield 1 that evacuated my hard drive to make room for Overwatch, like that one.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm.
God, what was the other topic we were going to discuss? Oh, I think Jones and I were going to complain about movies.
Yeah. Just a blanket statement like that. We'll get there.
I just have a feeling that this summer is going to... You know how Spielberg was talking about how eventually all these tent poles are going to come crashing down? I think this is when it happens, this summer.
We are going to see Wonder Woman tomorrow, and it's going to fucking rock.
Yeah, with our old friend Dale.
Right.
Well, I hope it's good, but I'll believe it when I see it.
I'm sure it will be.
So, okay, just so everyone knows, Jones is like a huge DCEU apologist. So.
Just like I'm a prequel apologist. I am always the lone defender. Down in like a freaking canyon or something. Like.
What about Suicide Squad? Did you see that? I did not.
That one, I will admit, is a mess. That one, I don't get how it did as well as it did.
I've really heard nothing good about it, so I have not bothered.
Yeah, if you want to watch a train wreck, check it out. It's
like Gods of Egypt.
Yeah, I mean, the setup for it's all right, because they set up all the characters in the first 20, 25 minutes. Like, that stuff's interesting. But then the whole time you're sitting there like, hey, I'd rather watch like the Harley Quinn Joker movie, or I'd rather watch the Deadshot movie, or the Fire Guy, whatever the hell his name was.
Fireman!
Like, all of their like brief little backstory things you see are more interesting than what you're given for a movie to watch.
Well, in DC fashion, they want to do this movie first and then give you all those individual films.
Yes.
You know, backwards of Marvel.
Yes.
Well, because they can't copy Marvel exactly.
Apparently.
I think it's good that they don't, because I think Marvel's incredibly cookie cutter.
Yeah.
At least... On the last podcast, actually.
Yeah, because I mean, it's like at least DC, yeah, they've kind of swung and missed a bit here and there, but it's like at least they're like trying some different shit.
Yeah, because
credit for that at least.
I really want to see Wonder Woman like punch some World War I soldiers, you know? Like, I'm so sick. I know I've said this a lot. I'm so sick of these superhero movies where they're just punching CGI bullshit.
Yep.
I want to see Batman beat up a purse snatcher, not punch a demon that was made by a mecha god.
I mean, Wonder Woman will probably be punching CG World War I soldiers, so.
Batman does kick the shit out of a bunch of, like, humans in that awesome warehouse fight in Batman v Superman.
Yeah, I don't think any of those people would have survived that fight. I mean, he pretty much murdered them all.
I know, it's fucking awesome. I love that scene. Like, he takes that one guy and, like, slams his head down, like, off that freaking crate that's sitting there. It's like, okay, that had to have just, like, snapped the dude's neck. And then, like, he pulls that knife out of his shoulder that somebody stabbed him with, and then he, like, stabs somebody with it. It's so fucking awesome! How can people not love that movie, goddammit?
You know, if the whole movie would have been like that scene, I'm sure people would have been apeshit for it, but it wasn't.
It was a good time.
It was like, oh, look, I've got to download data off this hard drive. Oh, I hope that's not Wonder Woman. "What are you doing, Bruce Wayne?" So I sure hope she doesn't have much dialogue, because I don't know. She kind of reminds me of Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's like just don't talk much.
She's fine.
Okay.
I watched Batman v Superman 3 times in the theater.
Oh my god!
And I'm proud of it. It's awesome.
Well, I don't feel bad for not watching it then.
And I saw Phantom Menace 5 times in the theater. It's it's my number one most watched movie in the theater of all time.
Oh my god!
And I'm proud of every viewing.
Hey, you know what? You know what? I like Phantom Menace better than Rogue One. There, I said it. That can never be taken off the internet.
Now that's a bold statement that I would not make.
Well, yeah, so. I actually would say Rogue One is... Well, we've had this discussion. Rogue One is probably the best Star Wars movie.
I would not go that deep, but...
It's definitely the least campy.
It's in the upper tier. But, wow. I like Phantom Menace and all, but man, that's a bold statement.
You know what? I will take, you know, geisha women and Gungan frog men and stupid robots 6 days a week ahead of, like, you know, like this woman who rebels but does nothing but follow people around the whole movie and just, God, Rogue One sucked.
Tell us how you really feel about that, Ben.
I was so goddamn bored. I'm like, Jesus Christ, I could be at home sleeping right now, but no. I'm here in the theater watching this garbage. It's like, yeah. That guy's like, I'm going to park my ship 6 miles away from this guy and walk slowly to his farm, giving him plenty of time to hide his daughter. Okay, you know what? I'm gonna stop.
So she doesn't follow people all the goddamn time. Like
she doesn't rebel at all in that movie.
Bullshit. She goes in and she makes that big fucking speech to everybody, and then they're like, "Pound sand, we're gonna be pussies." And then what does she do? She goes out and she's like, "Well, shit, that kind of blows." And Cassian's like, "Well, we're with you and all that." And she's like, "All right, let's go fuck some shit up." And they take off.
Yeah,
They go and like execute the whole. Everything.
That I guess that did happen, yes. But then the rebellion just shows up anyway, and they're like, I guess she was right.
Well, that's because there were a bunch of people that were like in favor of what she wanted to do, but they got outvoted.
Yeah, basically all the people who were in the military that were rebels wanted to do it, and then all the politicians were politicians.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, it was like, because that one dude in the green suit or whatever, and then, like, the proto-Akbar or whatever, like,
yeah,
they were both, like, for doing something.
No, he's Akbar's cousin.
Well, he's, like, the guy who dies so that Akbar can become an admiral.
Yes. Oh. So, when do we get an Admiral Akbar origin story? Because, you know, we're not going to get any every story has to be, you know, within the universe.
See, that would be an origin story I'd want to see. I don't give a rat's fucking shit about freaking Han Solo and his backstory. But it's like, Akbar would be awesome.
Like, a whole thing about that whole alien race would be really cool. Like, how the Empire, like, screwed them over and shit like that.
Well, yeah, like the Calamari, they make the big, you know, ships and stuff, too. Like, so it'd be kind of neat to,
Wait, they're called the Calamari?
Yeah, yes. Seriously.
You didn't know that? Lucas wasn't super creative on some names.
Are you... Wait,
Admiral Akbar,
seriously?
Yes. Calamari origin story.
Oh, my God.
The Mon Calamari, actually, but... Yeah.
Oh, well, so. That makes it completely...
But
I hope it's a calamari where it's got proper amounts of breading, because I hate it when you can actually see what it is.
Like, think if it was like Akbar Begins, and like he started out as like a Navy SEAL or something. You know,
well, that would make sense because he's a fish man.
Yeah, exactly. It's like he's going in like on covert ops and like slitting throats and shit, and then eventually, you know, he gets up to being like, you know, in the Navy. Becomes an admiral when fish guy bites it in Rogue One. It's like,
proto Akbar. Yeah.
I would watch that movie. Akbar Begins. It's not a trap.
A Star Wars story.
They'll make one in like it'd be like 40 years down the road, and they're like, okay, we need another idea for a Star Wars movie.
Yeah, fish guy is at the bar with his best friend, you know, like when they're in, you know, Naval Academy, and they're at the bar, and there's these two like fish women, and one of them is really hot, and one of them's kind of ugly, and the hot one is hitting on his friend, but he's trying to hook him up with her ugly friend, and Akbar's like, it's a trap. What do you think?
I actually really want Ben to do a drawing of what a hot looking calamari alien from Star Wars would look like.
I still can't believe they're actually called calamari.
Actually, I'm going to look up Rule 34.
Oh, no, don't.
Star Wars.
Rule 34? What is Rule
34? You've never heard of Rule 34?
I don't think so.
Oh, Rule 34 states that anything you can possibly think of, there exists fan fiction porn of it. So if you were like Amish toe wax, there's porn of it.
Oh god. Like fan fiction porn, not necessarily like okay. So okay.
There's a link right there.
That's okay. I don't need to click it.
At your own risk.
Oh, I'm gonna click it.
I've taken a lot of like.
Oh no! Oh my god, no! I can't believe they drew a bush. Fish don't have hair.
Yeah, that's not very aerodynamic or whatever.
Oh my god, why? Oh. Okay, you know,
I still am not clicking it.
No, don't
I just
don't.
Have to hear your reactions and it's enough.
Well, you know how fish aren't mammals and therefore they wouldn't have boobs? Well, clearly this artist doesn't care.
Taking it back.
All right.
Oh my god.
And 50% of all fan fiction porn involves Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, what? if you actually there's a rule on the internet. I can't remember which one it is, but if you look up your name, the Hedgehog, there's a drawing of it somewhere on the internet. It doesn't have to be porn related, but it does exist. God.
Even if you have a really weird name like Emmanuel, there's a hedgehog of you.
Well, Emmanuel is like a Skinamax series, so you know it would make sense.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I hear someone typing in Emmanuel the Hedgehog right now, aren't they?
I'm sure it's happening as we speak.
Oh, my God.
Over the internet.
Well, we should probably get to our first topic here pretty soon.
This is why we don't even need topics, because then we start, like, you know, conjuring up, like, Akbar origin stories and... I don't know, you making proclamations like Phantom Menace is better than Rogue One, and a good time. And then somehow we get to, like, Mon Calamari, like, fan porn or something. I can't say 20 minutes ago I thought that we would get to such a place, so win. But the reason I didn't click that link is, you know, even though... I'm thinking about building a new computer. I don't want to pollute my current one just yet.
Oh, that website's safe.
There's your segue, Ben.
Oh, sorry. I was looking up George Bush the Hedgehog. What did you say?
I said something about, you know, like, even though I'm thinking about building a new computer, I didn't want to, like, pollute my current one by clicking that link, so.
Oh, yeah. You're right, so, Jones, some...
Clunk.
Somehow you've had your computer for 7 years?
I think so, because Bad Company 2 came out in 2010, right?
That is correct.
Yes, so I've had it since, like, it would have been March of 2010. And I've only... Well, I've upgraded the video card, although that I bought when BioShock Infinite came out, which that was, what, 3-4 years ago?
2013.
So 4 years old on that. And then I got... new memory and an SSD at some point, but it's the same CPU, same motherboard, same power supply, all that good shit.
So, yeah, I mean, I used to replace my computer about every 3 years, although this computer I have right here at home is well over 3 years old now. They just seem to last longer nowadays.
I think it's just they hit a spot in CPU power that you just, you know, you don't really need.
Yeah, Moore's Law has been dead for a while now.
Yeah, because I went a little, like, on the higher end when I built my computer with the intention to make it last, and apparently that played out, because when I built it, I put a i7-930 in it, I remember it was, and that was before even, like, Sandy Bridge had come out. So, yeah, it's back there a ways, but... I mean, the GPU is more what matters for most of this shit anyways, and, I mean, that one's, like I said, that one I bought when BioShock Infinite came out, because I got the download code for Infinite with it, and that card plays, like, Battlefield 1 just fine. The settings are fairly high and everything still, you know.
I have a i7-4770K Haswell quad-core.
Okay.
So that's probably like 2013 model.
I think I probably have the newest computer here.
What is it?
Got a i7-67.
Oh, that's quite a jump.
4 gigahertz. GTX 970. 32 gigs of RAM. Blah, blah, blah.
Nice.
I think I built this one 2 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, about 2 years ago.
Speaking of that, I'm looking at my chip on Amazon, and it says that the max memory size... is 32 gigs. Because a lot of motherboards support up to 64 now, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one can go up to 64, if I recall, but 32 was that sweet spot in, you know, dollars versus how much memory it was.
RAM has been pretty cheap lately.
Yeah, it's, and then my video card is the ATI HD 7970.
Oh, I remember that card.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty nice.
That's what I ran back in, yeah, around that time.
Yeah, it served me well, so.
I have,
I remember it being a little heater.
I've got a lot of fans in my case, and it's a big-ass case, too, so it doesn't seem to have much for trouble with that, but.
I had a couple ATI cards that didn't work out so well for me. So I've been more NVIDIA lately.
I guess I'll probably... I usually just go for the best bang for buck that's out on the market at the moment. I've switched between NVIDIA and ATI a couple times.
Yeah, I used to be NVIDIA, like, long ago, and then when I went to build... Actually, when I went to build this computer... I hadn't built a computer in a long time, so I had asked Ben and Mike for kind of their suggestions, and they recommended me to go with this, I can't remember which ATI card it was now. So I went with that, and I'm like, oh, that was good. And so then when I went to upgrade it, I just stuck with ATI, and I'm not really married to them or anything. You know, I might get another ATI card when I build a new computer, or I might go with NVIDIA. Probably it'll just depend on, like you say, what the best value is for performance and all that, so.
What do y'all think about, y'all do the same thing for CPUs?
That I do not. I had freaking AMD like a long, long time ago one time, and I didn't have the greatest experience. And every other time otherwise I've had Intel, so I'm pretty firmly in the Intel camp.
I ran AMD for ever, because, you know, high school student, you have to build a computer with cheapest possible parts.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the Phenom 2 came out, and I bought that piece of shit CPU, and I was like, I'm never buying an AMD CPU ever again, because I got burned, and bought this monster i7, and been pretty happy with it. Though the Ryzen does look good, it's just one of those, yeah. I don't need a new CPU now.
Max, the editor for my show, he wanted to build... Well, Jones be happy, I turned him completely over to the dark side of Windows, so...
Or the light side, as it were.
Or the cheaper side. Yeah, he was unbrainwashed pretty quickly out of school, so...
Yeah, because he used to be Max the Mac guy, like when he started on your show, right? Basically.
Yeah. And what we did was, I think he had like an old ratty MacBook or something, which is like Allison used to have too. That eventually, and I was like, hey, we had it in the budget, so we built him a PC, an editing PC, and I'm like, look at this amazing PC we can make. God, you know what? I don't remember if Allison was still on the show when we did it or not, but I was like, hey, Max, look at the specs on this thing, and the total cost was like $1,200. he's like, holy shit. And so, yeah, so anyway, he built a computer for himself to do that's capable of video editing at home, and he did a Ryzen build. I don't think he got the top-of-the-line Ryzen. He got, like, the second to the highest. I think they have, like, a $500 one. I think he got the 300, but okay. He said it's been pretty snappy. He did do a test where he created a sequence in, I think, Premiere or After Effects or something, and then he rendered it and timed it, and he compared his new Ryzen computer to the computer he has at work. And, oh, God, when did we build the computer he has at work? It's probably about 2 years old. So whatever it was, is probably the I'm sure it was an i7. This is kind of bad because I don't know the number off the top of my head. But you know how there's usually like the best i7 is usually like $300 some.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Until you jump up to like then the next jump is like $1,000.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, yeah, so the Ryzen beat it in render time, but only by about 10 seconds. Hmm. So I'm not sure if it's like a huge jump, but it's definitely price competitive.
Okay.
Yeah, I think... What's the power difference? That's going to be big.
Actually, I've heard the Ryzens run cooler than Intel.
Well, that's a good change because the architecture they had before were essentially mini suns that ran inside your computer.
Mini suns. Well, the power of the sun.
Are you saying too, Ben, that like supposedly the AMD is a little better suited for like the sort of stuff Max does, like video editing and like that sort of stuff?
I don't have any firsthand knowledge, but all the pundits on YouTube say yes. Most of the performance gains are for processor intensive rendering and processing of data, not necessarily video games. Although I think video games, I mean, honestly, like an i5 will get you as far as you need to go with the video game.
Yeah, because the GPU is what matters anyway, so...
Actually, a lot of people say an i7... I mean, the i5 will actually outperform an i7 in a video game.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. It's something with the... I can't remember what it was about, but yeah. It's something about, like, thermal throttling or something like that.
What about an i9 Extreme?
With, like, 16 cores?
Yeah. Holy crap, Monoprice sells CPUs now?
And $2,000.
Wait, what does Monoprice not sell? They're like the new Amazon now.
They kind of are, because, shit, yeah. Here's an Intel. I was looking up the Intel Core i7-7700, and Monoprice has it. They had a booth at Maker Faire, and they have a touch tablet PC now that they sell.
I have never even heard of Monoprice.
Oh, you should check it out sometime.
They used to just sell cables.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. And so I wonder if they still do what they like for that tablet and stuff. Like, do they basically just rebrand
something
stuff? Something, but their stuff's always really good. It's really good quality, but they don't have any in-house design work.
Yeah, Chuck's got a bevy of Monoprice printers now at Spooky Pinball.
Huh.
Yeah, actually, yeah. If I need cables, they're a great solution for cables. Like anytime I need extra USB cables, thin HDMI cables, long HDMI cables, USB A3 to USB-C, Monoprice is the place to go. That's monoprice.com. This episode was not sponsored by Monoprice.
But it could be if they pay the right amount of money.
If we saw our metrics and we're like, oh, holy shit, we get a lot of listeners. We should like monetize this fucker. But
hey, monoprice.com, would you like to sponsor my podcast? I have no viewership data for you, but give me some money.
but for like PC parts, would you still generally go to Newegg probably? Or
I'll tell you what, I've completely abandoned Tiger Direct. Do you remember when they used to be the bomb? What happened to them?
Yeah, because when I built my computer, I bought half the stuff from Tiger Direct and half from Newegg, but then, like, the new stuff I bought for it since has all been from Newegg. And, yeah, I don't know what happened, but...
Yeah, I've definitely leaned more toward Newegg. Well, because the thing that used to be cool about Tiger Direct, at least where we live, Jones, is that their warehouse was in Illinois. So this is the days before Amazon, or before people used Amazon for things more than books. You could order something on Tiger Direct, and you would have it the next day with regular ground UPS shipping. And that was amazing.
Yeah.
But now I think they've probably decentralized, and I don't know what the heck happened, but... That guarantee isn't there anymore. Well, that's not a guarantee, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I...
Perk doesn't exist anymore.
Right, right. Yeah. Are they...
I don't hear much about them anymore, really, but I mean, yeah, I'm sure they're still around.
Used to be a Tiger Direct brick-and-mortar store here in Houston.
Hmm.
And it closed down 6 years ago.
They still have a website. Let's type in what happened to Tiger Direct. What happened to Tiger Woods? No, Tiger Direct.
We know what happened to Tiger Woods. Oh, God. I saw he was in the news again, and it reminded me of that night at the Tilted Kilt when the thing was on the TV about him backing out of his driveway and window being smashed with a golf club or something. And
oh yeah, and then you were like, this doesn't smell right.
Yeah, it's like there's something, because they, yeah, whatever story they told, it's like, yeah, this, there's something more going on here.
I'll call you, Jones, next time I'm at a bar and he goes,
although I am drinking a beer right now, my first
has any industry been torpedoed as quickly as the cab companies? My God, like, in Silicon Valley, it's like, you know what, you know how my thing is, like, you see how people use cell phones now, and it's kind of how people used to smoke? It's like, yeah. Oh, I'm standing here waiting for a bus. They used to smoke, now I'm going to use my cell phone. I'm here at the bar alone, I used to smoke, now I'm going to use my cell phone. So now all the Uber users look like prostitutes, right? So there's this continual line of cars pulling up and stopping, and people sticking their heads in the window to see if it's theirs. It looks like Hooker Alley.
So is it people used to be hookers, but now they just Uber?
Well, no, I'm just saying.
No, I know. I'm just saying to compare it to your, like, I used to smoke, yeah. Now I use my...
Okay, it's not the best, not the best comparison, but it looks like yeah. Hookers.
Yep.
Isn't on Uber, though, it shows you what the car will look like?
Yeah, but
this go, and it's like 40 Priuses that are all like silver lined
oh
up.
Oh my God! Okay, so Jones, I finally watched La La Land on my flight to San Francisco. Actually,
I have not seen that yet. Believe it or not.
Do you want to see it?
I don't really care, to be honest.
Then don't. It's completely vapid.
All right.
It makes The Artist. Have you seen The Artist?
Best nope, picture. I never winner? Saw that either.
Oh, okay, okay. yeah, La La Land is a completely vapid, pointless film with almost no structure whatsoever.
Hmm. Good.
But there is a joke. Well, of course, it's
just
a
stupid, one
stupid in Hollywood joke. But whoever the guy, Ryan Gyllenhaal, is
Ryan Gosling.
Mistake on purpose. He's at this party. And he's trying to help what's her face. He's like, "Oh, I'll get your keys for you." And he's like, "What keys do you have?" And she's like, "It's a Prius." And then he looks at the valet's key rack, and every key is a Prius. Ha 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 ha. But yes, in San Francisco, every Uber or Lyft is a Prius. So yeah. So you've got this line going back to your Uber thing. You've got this line of Priuses. It was insane, like, after Maker Faire, like, everyone went out to the curb, and there was just a line of Priuses coming up to the curb, picking everyone up. And they're all, like, black, silver, or gray, and they're all Priuses. So even though, yes, the license plate number is displayed on the app, you don't necessarily
know which one your car. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, definitely. So you picture, like, two hookers, like, fighting over, like, "Hey, I got that rich guy! Get out of here, other hooker!" Right?
Yep.
Actually, yeah. That's
it's like, this is my fucking Uber. Get the hell out of here.
The last time...
bitch!
The last time Chris Kraft picked me up from the airport, like, this person thought Chris was his Uber.
Really?
Yeah, he, like, knocked on the window, and then, like, Chris lowers it down. He's like, hey, are you going to pick us up? Why are you picking this guy up?
Because he's my friend.
Fuck off. I'm not your Uber. Oh, that could be like a movie. I'm not your Uber, right? Right. No.
You like a horror movie.
Well, they're making a movie based off the emojis, so anything is possible.
Ugh.
Yeah, so back to
Who is going to watch that movie? I want to go see a movie about the little tiny images that are on my cell phone.
Oh, like young kids will drag their parents to it.
I assume it's going to be animated.
Oh, yeah.
So it'll be like, it'll be kind of tailored to that shit. And
It'll be Wreck-It Ralph meets, I don't even care.
Shit in a bag.
No, it just will be shit in a bag. It won't, don't even drag in that great movie Wreck-It Ralph.
I liked Ghostbusters 2016 more than Rogue One.
You take that back.
I would not go there either, but...
Well...
Fair enough.
Well...
I liked Ghostbusters 2016 better than apparently a lot of the internet.
Well, once you have 10 trillion people tell you something is cancer, it can only be better.
True. That does help.
Right.
It was still disappointing just because of the people involved, and I know that they could have made something a lot better, but...
Yeah, it's almost like if they should have really gone for it, and then they could have made it their own thing, but...
Yeah, it's almost like the studio probably meddled tremendously with what these people were doing.
Why did everyone in that movie have to be, like, a walking stereotype of that character?
That's probably what the studio wanted.
Because movie...
That was my biggest problem when I watched that movie, so.
Yeah. Oh, it's got a ton of issues, no doubt, but, yeah. So that's why, you know, I don't want to read too much about Wonder Woman, because, I hope it's good, but I don't want it to be oversold to me before I see it, so.
Yeah, I've read nothing about it. All I saw was... It was fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. It's like 94% with like over 200 reviews, and that's all I needed to see. I was going to see it regardless. It could have had like a 5% on Rotten Tomatoes, and I wouldn't give a shit. I'd go see it. So.
Oh, I wouldn't have. If that thing was anywhere under 80, I would not bother. So,
It and Dunkirk are the two movies this summer that I actually give a shit about seeing.
I think, I know this was something else I was talking about earlier, but I think Dunkirk, and there's something else in late July as well, has a chance because there's basically nothing coming out in August. Mm-hmm. So those movies will actually, whatever comes out in late July will actually have a chance to have legs, unlike everything now where, like God, do you see Pirates the second weekend? It's probably going to be like 17 million.
Yeah.
It just fell off a cliff. There's no room.
There's another pirate movie?
Yeah, it came out last weekend.
Oh, I didn't know. Why am I on this podcast?
It proved to me like how disconnected I am from everything now that I don't like go on social media really at all, like, and all this stuff. Like when Dale texted me earlier this week saying like, "Hey, do you want to go see Wonder Woman on Sunday?" I was like, "What the fuck?" Because I had it in my head that it came out in mid June, and he's like, yeah, it comes out this weekend, and I'm like, well, holy shit. It's like Christmas came early.
Well, it is June now.
Yeah, but I thought it was like mid-June was when it came out. And then I saw that the Mummy movie with Tom Cruise comes out like next weekend. And I'm like, holy shit, I had no idea that was coming out already too. So,
well, all these, everything's being crammed together.
But it's like without being like, engaged in social media and all this shit, it's like I'm completely unaware of like when things are happening, which is kind of nice.
Hey, Wonder Woman has already outgrossed Baywatch after one day.
Wow.
Good.
Oh, God. Who seriously thought that was going to be a good idea?
Who knows? But I've been wanting to see Wonder Woman pretty much ever since Batman v Superman, and then especially since they released that Comic-Con trailer last year. Like, that trailer's freaking awesome. Now, of course, you can cut a good trailer and have a shitty movie, but I don't know. I saw that trailer and I'm like, yes, I will be there.
Oh, that Captain Underpants movie came out too.
Which I had never heard of until I saw that it was coming out this weekend.
It was a kid book when I was a kid, so.
Okay. So it would have been, after my time.
Yeah. Apparently it has an 86% rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
There you go. You can go watch that and report back.
Yeah.
So, as far as Core Wars goes,
I think it's
good that AMD is finally putting up some competition for Intel, because it will force Intel to innovate somewhat.
Instead of more cars.
That's true. Well,
and they really should, because, right now, desktop PCs are kind of an endangered species, and they need to fight for survival.
Do they?
Well, beyond the gaming space, they kind of do.
Yes. Don't be a mic. I mean, the world has kind of moved on from PCs.
I mean,
but
but like every single person at our company, we have desktop PCs.
Think about in the consumer market, though, beyond gaming and, like engineering applications and stuff, like, your typical.
Well, the thing is, normal people don't even need a PC. They don't even need, a MacBook.
That's what we're saying.
That's why tablets and cell phones have taken over. But,
yes, yeah.
But I wouldn't want to live in a world without, full-grown desktop PCs.
But there's, for the reasons you just gave, engineering applications, gaming, development, all this stuff, that's where you have to have a PC at this point for that stuff.
Oh, definitely.
So it's not going to go away, because jobs aren't going to go away.
I would disagree with your statement on development and things like that.
Because of virtualization?
Yes. Like at our company, none of our developers has a desktop PC. They all have thin clients sitting on their desks, and then they remote into a Windows machine that's running on server hardware, virtualized desktops running off of Citrix. It's essentially like our own private cloud, if you want to use that fucking term.
Hey,
but
Jones.
It's like going away from needing to have that stuff.
What kind of hardware is in the thin client?
There's not a whole hell of a lot in there. I haven't cracked one open or anything to look at it, but I think it's. God, what is it even? It's basically just like firmware, and it's got, it doesn't even run full-blown Windows. It's just got some little.
It's a terminal, right?
Yeah, and then you can put the Citrix receiver on it, and the Citrix receiver is essentially what launches you into your Windows 7 desktop, but that's a desktop that's running out in, in our case, out in Virginia in our data center. And, you're not actually running that on your desktop hardware sitting at your desk. None of them have desktops.
I'm looking at photos of it now.
And we have this new thing, what's it called? It's not even a thin client anymore. It's a... what do they call that guy? I don't deal with this shit anymore, because now I just do database stuff, but... I can't remember what it's called. Because the thin clients, the ones we had originally, those would have, Windows CE on them. And then they had, a stripped-down Windows 7 that went on them, and then now, these new things, they don't have, Windows on them, period. But all they are is they're just, this little, tiny little box that sits on your desk. They're, the size of a book or something. And then you just boot into it, and you launch whatever your desktop is from it, and then it's streamed back to that device. So...
Is that the future?
Well, that's the current.
Or the present.
That's the present. Yeah. So,
it really depends on what, your needs are for a company. So.
Yeah, I mean, if you're doing, some sort of hardware development and, whatever, it's a bit different story. But, in our case, it's we develop Windows applications using Visual Studio, .NET, you know, Angular, JS, like all this stuff, you know, web-based applications. We're getting into mobile app development. So it's, you know, you don't need to have these big old desktops sitting around at every developer's desk anymore. It's like you just have big beefy servers and you can spin up a shitload of client machines on one server.
What kind of latency is there talking to it?
Not much of any, really. Like, not really noticeable if everything's working the way it's supposed to.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's
so
pretty cool.
Maybe Core Wars is irrelevant because it's like a battle in which there will be no winner.
So basically, Jones' servers are the Death Star, right?
Or the Desk Star.
Oh, God.
Oh, those hard drives.
Oh, yes. Hey, Ben, remember way back eons ago when we went to E3, like the year that they had the...
Nintendo DS.
Whatever. No, oh, yeah. it wasn't the DS, it was the... 2010 3DS, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And what was the name of the company that was there and they were trying to do like the streaming gaming stuff?
Oh, yep.
Yeah. That was one of those things where they were probably like ahead of their time a bit, but I mean that's definitely where things are going. I mean, you look at Netflix and all that. I mean, eventually.
Well, yeah, Netflix is a one-way street though. I mean, gaming is a little different.
I agree.
Premise
yeah.
is there.
Yeah, I mean that's where the gaming pump companies want to get to, you know, is
well, yeah, because they want total ownership of the content.
Exactly.
Oh yeah, so you'd launch into Origin, and it would stream over.
Yeah, you'd have like Xbox Live would become an app that's on your TV, you know, and then you would just play your Xbox games through that, or yeah, like Origin or Steam, whatever. I mean, that's where. They definitely want to get to. I mean, I think there's a lot of hurdles yet to overcome because of latency, things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, because right now, you know, your expensive gaming PC or your less expensive but still costly console is the viaduct through which you receive that content, right?
Yes.
But now think about, like, the history of entertainment, right? People used to have to go to, like, a theater to see a play enacted live, right? Like, so if you wanted to see that content, they had to bring the theater and the sets and the actors or whatever to the nearest town that you could watch it in, you know, like 1890, watching Ben-Hur.
Yeah.
But once you had, like, radio and TV, all of that was turned into, like, a digital signal and you could watch it anywhere. And PC gaming is kind of the same way. Like, if you can externalize the production and the cost and the expense of presenting the content... And just make a very inexpensive, thin client on the end, that's going to be huge.
Yeah.
Of course, someone would say, oh, we don't have good enough infrastructure in America to support that yet. Which, you know, anytime...
Yeah, and there's truth to that. So,
well,
But
the big fiber, problem, all the things.
Yeah, America's...
America, low latency again.
Well, America is a big country. You know, like, you
yeah,
can talk about
exactly.
the speed of bandwidth within South Korea... But it's like the size of one of our states.
Well, isn't like South Korea just like pretty much just also one city, like where most people are at?
Well, not really, but I mean, Seoul is definitely huge, but yeah, it's the same thing when people talk about, you know, travel and things like that, and it's like, oh, I can go from here to here in Germany and all that, and it's like, well, yeah, Germany's like the size of Wisconsin.
Yeah,
you know, it's. It's just completely different when you look at the size of our country. So it, you know, it takes time for all that stuff to propagate out and become, you know, financially viable or whatever. But that's where things will get to eventually. I think we're still a ways away from that, but you know, it'll
yeah.
become a thing.
Well, you still run into the speed of light issues.
Yeah, and that's. I mean, that's the thing, you look at something, like I play World of Warcraft, and like, I don't even know what the hell the install's up to now, it's probably like 80 or 90 gigs, and that's all the assets, that's like, all these games, it's all the assets.
Yeah,
but it's
sound
like,
nowadays.
Yeah, it's sound, and all the art, you know, the environments, whatever, all that stuff, but it's like, so now, if you take that away, it's like, okay, now you have to like, stream all that shit, instead of just like, bits flying across the wire saying, you know, play sound file XYZ or whatever. It's like, well, now you have to actually stream that sound along with everything else that's going on, and that's where the hurdle's going to be. So, yeah, if it's fiber everywhere, then that becomes more plausible.
Well, you could technically just stream it just like a video.
The thing is different, though, with video.
You wouldn't have to stream the render, like the stuff to make it render, which is like the texture and the model. You don't need to stream that. You just stream the rendered result that was on that server and then stream that back. I think that's how online works.
Yeah.
I just looked up the speed of light across the Earth's equator, or the diameter of the Earth's equator.
All right.
134 milliseconds.
Hmm.
So that's the worst lag you can have in terms of, like, if you are optimal.
Well, yes.
Yeah,
I mean,
that would not be good.
Actually, a lot of games have upwards of 80 milliseconds, even rendered locally. So, you know, you'd be talking about those latencies added to the latency of the distance of, you know, cables.
Yeah.
Oh, the reason we bring up the speed of light is because the speed of electricity is the same as the speed of light.
Maybe,
but then you're going to be hitting, like, relay stations and hubs and data centers, and so there's going to be a lot of roadblocks along the way.
Yeah, every hop is going to cost you something, so.
Yep. But well, I've seen that even with the testing of, like, video game equipment. Yeah, from your controller, your TV can be, like, quite a bit, and even HDMI itself, you know, just, like, the processing of the video signals onto your monitor could be upwards of like 50 or 60 milliseconds. So it all adds up. So speaking of gaming, maybe we could segue from this Core Wars into Overwatch, which apparently you guys both play now.
Oh, yes.
We haven't played with each other yet, but yes, we played the game.
Ew!
Yeah, I've had like some coworkers that have played it a lot for quite a while, and they've kept trying to push me into getting it, and I was like, yeah, whatever, I don't feel like playing that. I didn't really care for Team Fortress 2 that much, you know, whatever. And then last weekend, Blizzard had a free weekend for Overwatch, so all you had to do was download it. Couldn't stream it. And checked it out, and it's like, oh, this is, you know, pretty cool. It seems like it could be a fun little, I don't know, diversion from time to time. And then they had it knocked down to $40 instead of $60 for, I think, through Monday. So I picked it up, and I've played it quite a bit, and it's pretty cool. I mean, it's like a shooter. I mean, it's very fast-paced and everything, kind of like a Team Fortress 2, but it's, I don't know.
Fast respawn.
Yeah, and like the big thing I like with it is, you know, like you play like your Call of Duties and your Battlefields and stuff. It's like, well, if you buy that game, like if you buy Battlefield 1 today and start playing it with your friends who have been playing it for 3 or 4 or 5 months or whatever, you know, you're way behind them on progression. Like, you don't have your cool guns unlocked and, you know, all this shit, these different perks. With Overwatch, it's like everybody's on the same playing field. Now, of course, somebody could have played Hero X like for 200 hours or something, and they're going to know how to play that character better, but they have all the same abilities as you. There's nothing locked behind leveling gates or paid gates.
You mean it's like how games used to be?
Yeah, yeah. It's like you buy it, and it is what it is. And they've released new heroes along the way, and gasp, they don't charge you for them. They just become available in the game. It's not like, oh, new hero, $10, please. They don't do any of that shit.
Sorry to interrupt, but I was just looking at this processor comparison on Amazon.
Yeah.
And an 8-core Ryzen only draws 4 more watts than a 4-core i7.
Oh, wow.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is nice.
Literally. Okay, back to Overwatch. I'm going to grab a beer while you describe this.
But yeah, so I like that. It's just, like, the maps are well done. I love, like, the art style of it. The heroes all, you know, are pretty unique. They all have their own skill sets and stuff.
They're very unique, but also very stereotypical of their genre.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Which is fine. I've seen that as a major criticism to the character design, but I'm like, that's kind of the point. Like, you have a robot cowboy that smokes a cigar and has a six-shooter pistol. I mean, like, and his ultimate is High Noon. And it's like, you can't have a more stereotypical cowboy character, but that's kind of the point.
Yeah, that's the idea, yeah. And it's... And I love the sound design in that game. Like, it's so good. Like, well, how they have...
Because every single character sounds different, and all the abilities sound different and unique, and so you can pick out what's going on.
And I just
the sounds.
Yeah, and I love stuff, too. Like, you know, I was playing the other night, and I come around a corner, and there's, like Widowmaker's up on some, like, balcony or whatever, and I spot her, and I take a shot at her. I don't have to, like, yell anything out to my team. My character, because I saw her and shot at her, says, "Hey, sniper, up top," or whatever. Like, she just yells it out to my team. You know, stuff like that's really well done. I like how all the characters have, like, they have their own voice lines. They've got their own personality.
And they talk to each other.
Yeah, like in the pre-match and stuff. I mean, even during the match a bit, too. But, yeah, in the pre-match, certain characters will kind of have conversations with each other that can be kind of funny, and they'll
you
give
know,
you
if
a
anything,
backstory for
with
the
those.
Character.
Yeah, with speaking of backstory, it's like I really hope we get like I want a single player experience with the Overwatch world because there, it's like you want more of it.
Yeah, you kind of want to be like, hey, I want to go and see how Overwatch began or whatever, you know, and like how these characters like that's a appropriate thing for them to explore down the road, which, you know, I mean, Blizzard, they probably will find a way to do that at some point. And it's like, I don't know. It's just really good. And it impressed me because I just was like, I should have known better because Blizzard has proven themselves to me time in and time out with these games where I kind of look at them and I'm like, but they seem to have this way of putting their own little spin on these certain genres of games that, I don't know, for me, they just work. Like, they hit that right note that they need to hit. And Overwatch does that as well. And I was playing it and I'm like, oh, hey, Ben should play this because he played Titanfall, which has mechs, and there's a character named D.Va who has a mech. She's pretty awesome, too. She has this, like, her ultimate is that she, like, you have to left.
What's an ultimate?
I was just going to describe that. So, like, you start out the match, you're at, like, 0%, and then, like, through, like, shooting things, killing things, doing different objectives, you level that thing up, and eventually it'll hit 100%. So when it hits 100%, your ultimate's available, and each character has an ultimate ability that you can choose to trigger whenever you want. And, you know, depending on if you're a healer, damage character, whatever, it'll influence the game in that way. So, like, for D.Va, she cruises around in a mech, and, like, her backstory is that she was, like, an awesome StarCraft player, and then she went to save the world or whatever, and so she cruises around in this mech, and, so she hops out of her mech and, like, you can, like, kind of launch it into your enemies, and then after a few seconds it'll detonate. So if you time it right, you can essentially take out the whole other team with her mech, and you can get some really cool moments that way. And then she can respawn her mech and jump back into it after that. Some of the other characters, like one of the healers is Mercy, and her ultimate is, like, once it's leveled up, like, other people, maybe you have two teammates die, instead of waiting for them to respawn, you can just, like, insta-res them, and they come right back into the match where they died.
I like her voice lines when she uses her ultimate, and she's like, "Heroes never die, for a price."
Yeah. The dialogue, I mean, Blizzard always has awesome dialogue and everything, and they do a good job with humor and everything, and especially in this game, they've got a lot of it. So, Yeah, I've been. I was impressed by it because I was definitely skeptical. But I just, I really like the idea that, you know, you jump in and the game is the game. Like, you don't have to be like, oh shit, I gotta get to level 20 to, like, unlock this cool ability.
Cool gun. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, or whatever it might be. Like, the only stuff that's locked away is, like, skins and voice lines. Like, it's cosmetic perk type stuff. It's that you get through loot boxes when you're player level goes up, or if you want to hurry that along, you can like buy loot boxes with real money, but you don't have to do that. Like, there's nothing in the game that affects the game.
Yeah, there's no pay to win aspect
yeah.
at all.
Yeah, shooters have had that gear grind going on ever since Call of Duty 4.
Yeah, yes. I really yeah. hate that crap.
So to me, it was really refreshing, especially as somebody who doesn't play these games like all the time. Like, I kind of play them a bit and then I drop out for a while and then I'll jump back in again. And so, like, with, you know, Battlefield 1, I'm like, well, fuck, you know, I'm like months behind. Like, you know, it's just kind of like, I don't know, it doesn't feel like you can really catch up. Yeah, where in this there's no catching up to be done other than
skill level.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, somebody that's played D.Va for 100 hours is probably going to know the maps a little better and know how to play her a little better, but they're not going to have any sort of ability advantage, so. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I would recommend it for somebody who wants a kind of fun, quick shooter type game, so. Well done, Blizzard.
Neat.
What's this game you guys have been playing? Because I said something about Overwatch when I made my return to Twitter this week, and then somebody said something about some whatever the hell it's called.
Player Underground Battlegrounds. It's basically the movie like Battle Royale.
Okay, because I heard it's like basically the map shrinks as the fight goes on, so it keeps forcing everybody to the middle, kind of.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, pretty much.
If and then you die and you're dead, right?
Yeah, you die and you're dead. And the great thing about it is when your team dies, because you have like squads, when everyone dies, you can just drop out and join another one.
Okay.
So you don't have to wait for all 100 people to die.
Yeah, because I was like, that would kind of suck.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of times we'll drop in and die within, like, basically 30 seconds from hitting the ground.
Yeah.
If, like, multiple people drop into the same area, you're basically running to find a gun the fastest, and so you can kill them before they can get you.
Okay.
It's really fun.
So that's like an indie game or something?
Kinda. It's I think it is indie, but it's a, it's in, what do they call it? Open beta. Well, that's what they used to call it. Early access is what they call it now.
Oh, on Steam, that thing, yeah.
Yeah. It used to be really buggy, but they had a big, like, 4 gig patch this week, and it's made it way more stable.
How much does that cost, or is it just...
I think it's $40.
Okay.
Which is kind of pricey, in my opinion, for it, but it is a lot of fun. I would watch, like, there's a ton of people streaming it. I would watch someone streaming to see if that's going to be your kind of game. Because it's way different than a normal first-person shooter.
Okay.
It's drop in, find some kind of gun, and then try to survive to the end. While moving and keeping inside the play area.
Yeah, it's like when I read a bit about, because after you guys talked about it, I'm like, what the hell is this? And so I read a little bit about it, and I'm like, yeah, that sounds like a game that'd be fun for, like, a little while, and then it seems like the novelty would wear off, but maybe it doesn't. I don't know.
Yeah, so far, the map is so big that and it randomly drops you in, like, basically, you're in a C-130 with, like, 20 or 30 other people.
Okay.
And so you get to pick where you drop out, but the angle that the C-130 comes in at is completely random. And so there's a lot of times, like, we'll play, like, 5 or 6 rounds and never cross the same part of the map.
So is this, like, is it just your squad against everybody else, then? Or do you kind of have a faction that...
No, it's okay. Your squad versus all the other squads. So it's, like, 2 versus 98 people.
So your squad's only 2 people, then?
There's singles, duos, and squad, and I think squad's 4 people.
Okay, because I was going to say, how could squad awesome, like, conquer this game with only 2 people, but...
Yeah. They still need some better things, because if you have, like, let's say you have 8 people, you can't guarantee y'all are going to be all in the same match.
Okay.
At least not yet.
Do they have, like, a timeline for when it would be, like, a true, you know, like, a release candidate or something like that?
No idea. It's good enough right now, though, so.
Okay.
Last week, I would have said something different, but now it's pretty stable. It's still glitchy, but it doesn't crash on you randomly.
Since you've played them both, and they're both the same price... at least for a couple more days, like, which one would you recommend to people between Overwatch and that one?
So they're completely different games, but I would say you'd probably get more life out of Overwatch. Because I've had Overwatch longer, and I still play it.
Okay.
I don't know if a month from now I'll be still playing Battlegrounds. We'll see.
Yeah.
Next podcast, I will let y'all know.
I deleted it off my hard drive and blah, blah, blah. Or, yeah, you'll still be playing it, so. That sounds like a good time.
These games sound like amazing fun!
So Ben's not playing that one? What are you playing, Ben?
I haven't played anything in a while. I've been gone a lot lately.
Oh.
I finished Horizon Zero Dawn.
Okay, yeah, I was just going to ask you if you beat that or not.
I did.
Nice. Did it hold up over the whole game? Like, was it as good as what you thought?
Horizon Zero Dawn is a must-buy for any PlayStation 4 owner.
Wow. I do not own it yet. And I do have a PlayStation 4.
You are evil!
I don't have a PlayStation 4. So.
Michael, Blue Rays are evil!
Oh, hey, I have a question for you. So,
what is it?
So I have my TV, you know, this new thing.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
And so...
is it in color?
And yes. And it can do... and it can do HDR and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the big sell of the PlayStation 4, 5, or whatever they ended up calling it.
Yeah, it has. Well, actually, the PlayStation, regular PlayStation 4 has HDR as well.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
But it can't play...
With an update that it's had.
But it can't play, like, the super Blu-rays that they've got out now, right?
Well, neither can the PlayStation 4 Pro, actually.
Oh, it can't?
Nope, it has the same Blu-ray drive player as the new slim PlayStation 4.
Mm.
Cost-cutting.
Because, I was looking...
So the old PlayStation
However,
4 can play the Uber Blu-rays?
No. So we've done teardowns of all of them. So you have the PlayStation 4, PlayStation 4 Slim, and then the PlayStation 4 Pro. So the PlayStation 4 Pro and the PlayStation 4 Slim came out at the same time, and they have the same model Blu-ray drive inside of them, which is just a standard Blu-ray drive that cannot play 4K Blu-rays. However, the Xbox One Slim, the white one, that can play 4K Blu-rays.
Really?
But isn't Blu-ray Sony property?
Well, yes, which is quite ironic that the best Blu-ray player in a console is not in the Sony device. But yeah, the Xbox One
S. Maybe
the
Sony can play an HD DVD.
You can only hope.
Anyway, the Xbox One S, it has. Well, both the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4 originally did not. I think they were like HDMI 1.3 or 1.4, which did not support like full 4K. I think it might have supported full 4K at like 30 FPS or something. But Anyway, but yeah, so the Xbox One S, even though it's not a 4K upscaling console, it will play and display 4K Blu-rays.
Hmm.
Yes.
The reason I ask is because I was like, how can I play some HDR content on this thing? And so I was looking, and Amazon's got a pretty nice, well-regarded Samsung Blu-ray player that plays the 4K, can do HDR, all that good stuff. And it was like $205, I think. So I was kind of thinking about that, but then I was like, oh, I wonder if, you know, the Super PlayStation or whatever can play them, and I didn't even think about the 1S because I just...
I do know the Xbox One has had support for HDR color gamut ever since launch, okay. Whereas on the Sony, that was something that was added in later via patch and default with the PlayStation 4 Pro. If we ever do that movie night we were talking about doing, which we haven't gotten around doing yet,
yes,
I could just bring the PlayStation 4 Pro and Horizon Zero Dawn and we could see how it looks in your TV.
Yeah, that'd be cool, because you'd be able to... If anybody could tell the difference, it would be you. So
yeah, I put like 70 hours in that game.
Yeah, so...
Well, they say... most reviewers say that the HDR is actually more impressive than the fake 4K.
Hmm.
I would agree. The HDR is amazing in Horizon Zero Dawn.
Hmm. See, I've read that with, like, movies and stuff, too. Like, people say that, yeah, like, the HDR is where you really see the difference on the 4K stuff. Like, it's...
Well, you don't really see... It's kind of hard to tell the difference between, like, 2K and 4K, honestly, unless you got your face right on the screen.
Yeah, yeah. That's what people were kind of saying, but they said they could definitely tell it, like they'd basically pop in a Blu-ray of, I don't know, John Wick or something, and then they'd pop in the 4K HDR, blah, 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 John Wick. And, you know, you'd be able to, there was like a noticeable difference between them. It varied from movie to movie, of course, like some benefited from it more than others, but.
I would say if your movie had lots of dark, heavy shadows, like John Wick.
Yeah.
I figured that was a good example. Way more for it.
Yeah, yeah. And John Wick 2 comes out soon on disc. It's already out on demand. I bought it like 2 weeks ago, and I've probably watched it a ridiculous amount of times, but it's awesome. Saw that twice in the theater, too.
Damn.
That's actually the last new, like, the last 2017 release that I saw in the theater was John Wick 2. The most recent thing I saw in the theater was The Fifth Element. So, yeah, I have not seen anything yet this summer as far as 2017 movies. So, that will change tomorrow.
I saw Guardians of the Galaxy 2 a couple weeks ago.
Is that any good?
I wasn't terribly impressed by it, no.
So, did you like the first one? You must have, since you saw the second.
Yes, I liked the first one a lot.
Okay, so this one does not compare favorably in your eyes, then.
Have you guys seen it?
No.
I have not.
There's just, I don't know, it's... Well, I mean, Kurt Russell's in it, which is awesome, but his character is, I don't know, it's like, meh. Well, okay, like, for instance,
Isn't Stallone in it too?
Yeah, Sylvester Stallone is in it as like as you know how like the Micah Rooker character is like a reaver or like a space pirate or whatever.
Yeah.
So Stallone is like the king of the space pirates or something.
Oh, that's all. Okay, I can go see it now.
Well, that's pretty.
And
cool.
He's like, enough to get me to go.
Yo, you traffic kids, and that's why we kicked you out of the guild. Yeah. But it's I don't know. It's kind of masturbation-y, I don't know if it's the right word. Because, okay, so, you know, it's like someone's like, oh, you know that part in the first one where Michael Rooker crashed and then killed 10 people with his, like, arrow?
Yeah.
What if we had a scene where he killed 500 people with it?
Mm.
Oh, and you know how everyone liked Baby Groot? Well, what if, like, all over the credits, we inserted I Am Groot randomly in the background? And it was very, like, I don't know. It was not...
Self-aware.
Yes, it was self-aware instead of being like organically original and good, unlike the first one. And the weird thing is, there's only like three locations in the whole movie. They start off on one planet. They kill a monster. Then they crash on a planet of trees, and then they go to the Kurt Russell planet, and that's the only places the characters go.
Yeah, because what you describe is kind of what I feared would happen with that movie. That it'd be like, oh, we made this successful movie, blah, 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 blah. Well, here, let's just give them that times 10. Instead of, you know, just having it progress naturally. But
well, but I'll
still
I don't
see
know,
it at some point. But
well, in a way, it almost feels like less of a film because there's fewer locations. Like in the first one, you have... I mean, you know, like when you watch the first Guardians... And what's his face?
Well,
he's
on like that space rock at the beginning.
Yeah, it's like abandoned planet.
Yeah.
And he's dancing around, and like, you know, it's one of those movies. Is like, well, I guess Chris Pratt's a megastar now. You know, like you see that every so often. Like,
yeah.
You see a movie, and you know that X character or X actor is gonna be a megastar. But he's on that planet, and then they're on like another planet. Then they're like in the space prison, and then they go to the planet that's like ahead of some ancient being.
There's
and then
the
they
place
go to one
where Thanos is or whatever with
yeah.
You know, it's like yeah.
Then they go to John C. Reilly planet at the end.
Yep.
And there's a ship. But yeah, the new one is a planet full of gold assholes, tree planet, Kurt Russell planet. That's it. Kurt Russell planet kind of looks like No Man's Sky planet.
Hmm.
Because well, Kurt Russell is a planet.
Everything looks procedurally generated.
Kind of, yeah. I don't know. It's just I don't know. Well, I mean, I've said on here a million times. I think Marvel makes cookie cutter movies, and you know, they're like the McDonald's of
Taco Bell
making. Yeah, yeah.
Five ingredients, mix it up in different ways.
What I did finally see, I did see Logan finally because that came out on video.
Did you like it?
Yes, I enjoyed it quite a bit, and I agreed with your summation that I think you sent me in a text where you're like, it's likely good for what it is not, or whatever, mm-hmm. something along those lines. And,
yep.
And it's like, yeah, it's very much not the typical superhero movie, and I appreciated it for that. It was more like a throwback, kind of like a Western movie that
yeah.
just happens to have a couple of people with superpowers in it. I liked how Logan, you know, like it starts out and he's like driving a limo and shit, you know, like.
Oh yeah, and he jumps in the way of because he'd rather get shot than the limo get shot.
Yes, yeah, that was so awesome. And then when they shoot the car, that's when he really gets pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "This thing's a lease." And, yeah, and it was. I just liked how small it was. You know,
yeah,
and
definitely
it was. Yeah, it was. Happy with it, so, and I thought it was...
I mean, like, when I saw that, I'm like, you know, everyone talks about Marvel and like, oh, you know, Fantastic Four should go back to Marvel, but Fox made more of a real movie with that than
yes.
Marvel has in quite a while. Because Marvel will make, you know, successful popcorn junk
yeah.
entertainment. It's like, you know, but like, Logan was more like a real movie.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I mean, that was... What struck me a lot during it is it's like you barely, I mean, obviously he gets shot and things and he lives through it and whatever, but it's, you know, you barely think of them really having superpowers. Like the superpower stuff doesn't come up a whole hell of a lot until like right toward the end with the kids and their abilities and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it's just more kind of like this road movie of people, you know, going across the country and kind of being chased and stuff. And
he's like old and broken and like his claws don't even come out correctly anymore. And
you know, he's getting poisoned by the adamantium or whatever. And like
yeah.
Xavier's like his, I like the whole
he
has concept.
Dementia.
Yeah. I liked the concept with him too, you know, like the person with the most powerful brain in the world and, you know, kind of what happens when that brain starts kind of failing.
Oh, you know what else was really good about that movie? It had setup and payoff,
yes.
which very rarely happens in movies nowadays. Like that's the thing with Guardians of the Galaxy. Like Rocket Raccoon. If the scene needs Rocket Raccoon to pull an atomic bomb out of his left back pocket, he can.
Yeah.
It's like there, but That's what all movies are like. It's like Batman pulls off this and blah, 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 blah. But Logan, you know, you had, oh, look, there's a train here, and it comes up later. There's a fence, and it comes up later.
Yeah.
This is what happens when,
when Xavier's brain kind of...
Yeah, when he has a seizure, and it comes up later. Here's an adamantium bullet, and it comes up later.
Mm-hmm.
That was what was satisfying. Everything was set up and paid off.
Yeah.
I mean, unlike The Hobbit and, like, the get-out-of-free-jail-card birds.
Pick you up. Get out of Mordor free.
Yeah.
Well, I loved that scene when they're like in Vegas or whatever, and Xavier has a seizure, and then Logan's like everything's in slow mo, and he's like fighting his way to get back in the room, and then he like kills all those guys like
in slow mo.
Yeah, it was so fucking badass. I'm like, it was just so refreshing watching that, 'cause I'm like, I haven't seen that before.
Well, and also, so cool. you get to see what someone with adamantium claws, what they would do to people, you know?
Yes, yeah, you, that
you,
too.
You could feel the weight of, you know, the violence.
Yes, yeah, it was...
I also liked, spoiler warning, I liked how Professor X died unceremoniously in the back of a pickup truck.
Yes, yeah, that was interesting, too. And, yeah, there was a lot of finality to that movie. I loved that little scene. I mean, you knew something bad was going to happen to that family, but I love that scene when they're at the dinner table with that family, and you know they kind of get to have a little bit of happiness leak into their life for a little bit.
And Professor X, he's like, "This is what life could be like, Logan."
Yeah, and he says,
and everyone dies.
Yeah, yeah, and he says something like, "You know, this is the best night I've had in as long as I can remember," or whatever, you know, and it, I don't know, there's just, like, stuff like that, where it's like, that shit just does not come up in, yeah, like, your typical Marvel movies, you know, it's, they don't dig in that deep, or whatever, and I
like...
Well,
it reminds me, like, I always bring this up, but it reminds me of the scene in Spider-Man 2, which is still the best superhero movie ever made. Where Aunt May is trying to give Tobey Maguire $20 for his birthday, and he won't take it. He's broke, and she's broke, and he won't take it, and she cries because he won't take it. Yeah. It's like, that's real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, if you see, like, Chris Pratt, you know, kicking, you know, bombs across a starship in the exploding sun, blah, 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 you know... You know, it's just a bunch of CGI fluff, but like if you have like Professor X who won't take his drugs and he's crazy and you know no one wants to take care of him but Logan has to, or Tobey Maguire taking $20 because otherwise his aunt will cry, and you know that's humanistic, it's real, and you can actually feel connection to those characters in those situations.
Yep. Yeah, and that was it's the big thing.
I mean,
is
you Ben, can you see don't where go kicking nukes into suns anytime? I mean,
no,
that's
not,
I do that every
not
Thursday.
Typically.
Not typically. It's not. But yeah.
So So speaking of movies, I have a feeling that the summer is going to be like a major bust for Hollywood. Moving on to topic three.
Like how? Like so? Let's see. So
like, I hate to break it to you, but The Mummy is not going to make it.
Well, I knew that when I saw, like, the first stuff with it, and he's, like, I don't know, like a Marine or some shit. You know, it's, like, in modern times, and it's just, like, I mean, I love Tom. He's awesome. I'm going to go see it because it's Tom. But, yeah, it just, I don't know why anybody else would go and see that movie.
Well, there's just too many goddamn movies coming out. Like, at first I was like, why are they releasing... Yeah, well, hold on. I was like, why are they releasing so many movies in March and April? Because they released a ton. It was like a mini summer, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then it turns out, like, this summer, every goddamn weekend, there's a huge movie coming out, and they're just not going to have room to breathe.
Yeah, it's well, that's why movies like John Wick 2 are smart, and they come out, like, in February, you know? It's like,
yeah,
there's at least a little bit of space there to do something, and like that movie Split. Came out in January and made a ton of money.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just in like the last two or three years, like January, February are no longer really the dumping ground.
Yeah. Yeah. They're kind of becoming a place to put something worth seeing. So, which I saw Split. I don't know if you've seen that.
I have not.
That was really goddamn good, too. I was like, holy shit. It's like, we went back 15 years, and, like, M. Night Shyamalan can make an awesome movie.
Oh, wait. I did see the last. I did see the last minute of it.
Oh, so you saw the tie-in to?
Yes, because. So yeah, we were going to Maker Faire, and it was one of those planes where they have headsets, screens in the back of every seat.
Oh,
and they
yeah.
Actually, have you been in one of those, Parker, where they have a screen in every seat, and they actually have a pretty good selection of movies for free?
No, I always fly economy, Ben. We're not all rich like you.
No, this is economy.
What airline?
It was American Airlines.
Because I always fly Southwest, and that's, like, you know, cheap.
No, like, if you get in a flight that's, like, 3 or more hours, like, not even the biggest jets, but, yeah, so the new thing is they'll have a headset, or, I'm sorry, a screen in the back of the seat, and then it'll even have, like, a parallax barrier privacy guard, which is kind of the same way the... Nintendo 3DS made its 3D illusion.
Oh, so you can't, like, so no one can go see the porn that you're watching?
Exactly. Like, anyway, so, what was it? I was watching La La Land, and that's when I took the photo of Horizon Zero Dawn out the window. Anyway, so that, Karen was there, because we went to Maker Faire, and she's like, Ben, here's the end of Split that we were talking about with Bruce Willis. And I'm like, okay. And I had to, like, lean over really far in order to see it because of the privacy guard. But I just thought it was really awkward because that lady who was, like, a terrible actress, she's like, hey, this reminds me of that one guy who did that one thing that one time. What was his name?
Yeah.
And then it's like, they called him Mr. Glass. Yep. And then the camera holds on him for, like, 20 seconds so you understand who he is. And then it cuts to black. So no, I laughed so loud that the stewardess came by and said, "Hey, can you keep it down?"
When I saw that movie,
but I didn't see the movie though, just the ending.
Yeah, like the only thing I had heard really about that movie was like that it seemed like it was good, and then that there was an Unbreakable tie-in. And so when I watched it, the Unbreakable tie-in was exactly what I wanted it to be. Like when I saw that, I'm like, "That's fucking awesome." And then he's actually announced that his next movie is called Glass, and it's going to be a combo sequel, essentially, between Unbreakable and Split. Hey, I'm on board, because Split was really good. Like, it has a lot of setup and payoff, you know, like you're talking about, and it was just, like, a really well-done, like, suspense, like, mystery-type movie.
Well, hey, if it gets us Unbreakable 2, then yeah, I'm for it because of all the sequels that we don't ask for but get,
yes,
Unbreakable is a movie that everyone's been begging for a sequel for.
Yes, but then which thanks to the Knight's career falling off a cliff.
Right. Well, I mean, there's no reason he couldn't have made Unbreakable 2 instead of The Village or Lady in the Water.
I know the thing with Unbreakable, like, the problem was, like, you know, he did Sixth Sense, it came out of nowhere, it made a shit ton of money, and then he made Unbreakable, and they gave him, you know, a pretty good-sized budget. It was, like, $80 million, which, you know, nowadays, that's a fart in a hurricane, but but it didn't exactly do gangbusters. But then he went and made Signs, and that made a bunch of money again.
Right.
And then he made Village, but I think, you know, the studio probably would have been a little... had a little trepidation about making Unbreakable 2. And I watched Unbreakable again after watching Split, and I had forgotten, like, how dark a lot of that goddamn movie is. It's like...
literally or figuratively?
Like, you know, just, like, tonally and stuff. Like, there's that scene where he goes into that train station, you know, when he's trying to, like, when he kind of realizes, like, okay, I've got these powers.
And he starts touching everyone?
Yeah, and, like, you know, some college kid bumps into him, and he sees that basically he date-raped some girl and all that, like, when she was drunk out of her mind, and then it, like, cuts back, and you see he's just, like, some kid dressed nice coming back from school to see his parents and shit like that, and, you know, there's just a lot of stuff like that where it's like, shit, forgot that was in here, and it's just an awesome movie. It's like, I don't know. I love, like, the cinematography in it and all that. It's, like, it's just, like, so badass. So, it was very... good to see Knight like get back to making like a quality film again with Split, so because it had been a while. But summer box office.
Yeah, summer box office. I was just looking at Pirates of the Caribbean. Like it's gonna be down 73% its second weekend. Like that movie will probably not even make 150 million in America.
It'll make gangbusters in China, though.
Yeah, but what's it doing overseas? Because the last one didn't exactly do amazing business here either. I mean, it made over 200, but it was overseas, down compared to the others substantially.
Yep, I just checked. Overseas is just about 300 million.
Okay.
And the two largest by a landslide are, that's right, China and Russia.
Yep. Because that's like the new Fast and Furious movie. I mean, it's not going to come anywhere close to what the previous one did in the U.S.,
right.
But it's made over a billion just from the international box office, like not including domestic.
I guess that begs the question, like, at what point do they stop making movies for Americans and start making them just for the overseas audiences? Or maybe one could say they've already done that, since everything's like just CGI explosion fests.
Yeah, I think it's already started, and I know that was the big talking point with Warcraft, because, of course, you know, it did not do well domestically. It didn't even make $50 million, but it made whatever the hell it was, like almost $300 million just in China.
Right.
And so they're like, well, are they just going to make a sequel and just purely target it at China? I mean, why wouldn't they, you know?
I just looked up Fast and the Furious 84. Just over 1 billion foreign or non-American.
Yep.
1 billion, 392 million of which is China. Insane.
Yeah. It's where the U.S. for that one's what at like 200 some million, like low 200s.
The thing that's weird about that is like India has just as many people as China, but in India, it only made 19 million. I wonder why. Because this is not a Bollywood film?
No, India doesn't have as much.
They don't have as many theaters? Or
no, their working class doesn't have as much expendable income as China does.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
So what does Hollywood do once everyone in China gets a 60-inch TV in their home?
Then they hope that India...
They hope India is...
Yeah.
Got expendable income.
Pretty much. I mean, it's eventually they'll run out, but you know.
And then hopefully by then, you know, maybe, you know, Elon Musk is on Mars, and then they can start, you know,
marketing to Martians.
Martians, yeah.
So what? Like, what are the other big movies yet to come this summer? Because I'm out of the loop.
Dunkirk.
I mean, Dunkirk comes out on my birthday,
which
I can't wait for, but it'll be
okay,
awesome.
Okay, if we go from right now, it's Wonder Woman, Mummy, Cars 3, Transformers 58.
Well, they did make a Cars 3. Wow, I was wondering when they were going to do that.
That emoji movie.
I think that's like in July.
It's like next year, or is that this year?
It's this year.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, anyway, after Cars, I want to say it's Transformers 85, then Sony Spider-Man.
Oh, I forgot that was coming out.
A Despicable Me Minions, Revenge of the Minion Sith. Revenge of the Fall of the Planet of the James Franco Apes.
Oh, man, Dunkirk. There's another one of them coming out?
Yeah.
I liked the first two a lot, but I didn't even know there was another one coming.
Yeah, the last of the trilogy.
Oh, that Blade Runner movie, right?
That's in the fall, but you know what? I'll totally watch that with bells on now that I've seen The Arrival.
Villeneuve is an awesome director, so...
Yeah, I mean, I've heard about him for a while, but I hadn't seen one of his films until I saw The Arrival.
He made that, and Sicario is really awesome, too.
Doesn't he have something else he did before?
Prisoners, he did, which...
Okay, yeah, and now he's trying to do Dune, right?
I saw some trailers for that, The Dark Tower.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
okay.
It's got Idris Elba and McConaughey in it, so that's compelling, but...
And that's August... Early August. I mean,
yeah, it'll bomb.
Yeah.
For me, summer goes to like December. So.
Yeah, Villeneuve, like Prisoners was a really well done movie, but it's one of those where you, Like, I mean, I know you don't watch movies repeatedly like I do, but, like, Prisoners is one of those where I'm like, that was really good. I probably don't ever need to see it again. Like, just because of the subject matter and everything. But, like, Sicario is really good. And it's got a scene in it that I swear is, like, an homage to the beginning of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Like, I don't know how it couldn't be.
Wait. Oh, Dark Tower is not directed by Ron Howard. Well, that's good.
Wait, who did direct Dark Tower? There was a Resident Evil movie that came out?
Yeah, the last one, supposedly. Haha.
Oh, no, they're rebooting it. They're rebooting already.
Okay. The last one with Mila, then, I suppose.
Like, Mila Jovovich, you're like 41 years old. Get out of here, toots.
Who did direct Dark Tower?
Let's see. Nicolas Arkell?
Never
heard of him.
Yeah, not familiar.
Well, they're doing, like, CBS, or someone's doing, like, a Stephen King universe on television, which actually kind of makes sense, because his books were always in the same universe.
Yeah, they're all connected on some level, so... Huh.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Makes sense.
Yeah,
I don't know,
there isn't a lot of... Yeah, there's not any real biggies in there. I mean, I'm sure that Spider-Man one will do well.
Yes, I know everyone's going to already say that's the best Spider-Man movie ever. To them, I say, fuck you.
Yeah, you know that everybody will be like, oh, yeah, Marvel was involved. Yeah, it's like, who gives a shit? It's like the first couple that Raimi did are pretty goddamn awesome, so.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it'll be really good, but
high
I don't know.
Bar. The first two Spider-Man movies are a pretty high bar for them to surpass.
Okay, but do you think the first two Raimi Spider-Man movies could have happened in a Marvel universe?
Probably not.
What would have been different, do you think?
I don't know, like, trying to think, like, would they have allowed the kind of, I don't know, because, like, Raimi's got his visual flourishes over them, like, there's a lot of his kind of, like, signature on those, where they don't seem to be big on letting directors kind of...
make their mark?
Yeah, so...
Speaking of movies coming out this year, what about the new Jumanji movie?
Ugh.
Does it have The Rock in it?
Yes.
Of course it does, because
is in it.
every remake has The Rock in it. Every remake has The Rock in it, which is why he'll never be the next Arnold Schwarzenegger.
There's a picture of the cast right there.
I don't think there can be another Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Because here's the thing. The Rock is able to speak better than Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, he's a better actor. I would say, but...
Yeah, well, he's better speech patterns. But all he does is effing remakes and franchise shit. Like, has he ever made The Terminator or a Total Recall or a Commando? It's like, he's never in a movie that has his own voice or allows him to have his own voice.
True.
And that's why he'll never be the next Arnold, because the current system just won't let it happen.
Yeah, that's the problem, is the... Because that's like... Although you'd think, like, at a certain point, he should get enough pull that he could do something. I mean, I know...
Wait, wasn't he in...
He was in, like, The Rundown, which was a fun movie, but it's, you know, forgettable. But it's like, you know, like Vin Diesel, like the Pitch Black movies, that's kind of like his passion project that he's, like...
Which one?
Pitch Black, and then, like, the... sequels that they did, like, those are like Vin Diesel's, like, passion project, you know, so it's kind of cool that he, like, fights to get those made and everything, but it's like, I don't know, does The Rock have a Pitch Black, or is he just content, like, being like, oh yeah, I'll be in Baywatch, and I'll be in Jumanji, and, you know, I'll be in Fast and Furious movies, and, I mean, he's making a shit ton of money. Maybe he doesn't have, like, anything where he's, like, burning to make this, you know, movie, like, his Pitch Black or whatever. It's too bad, because, I mean, I like him. I like seeing him and stuff, but
oh,
a lot
you know
of the
what
stuff
it could
he
be.
Makes, I don't really care to watch, so...
If Doc Savage, if they ever did that,
yeah.
That could be...
Yeah.
He could own that if they ever made it. Like, I thought Shane Black was going to make that, but no, we get... Predators, Iron Man 3
and
Predator 10.
That's what
Rocky
so that's 10. So that's what Black's working on now, is the Predators sequel.
Oh, yeah, it's already been shot. A new Predator, a reboot, or I don't know, who gives a fuck.
Well, at least he made the nice guys.
Like, Wonder Woman's coming out this weekend. It's going to do pretty well. It's going to do well.
Yes.
And I think Hollywood's knee-jerk reaction will be like, oh, we have to have, you know, female action stars, so let's reboot a bunch of shit, you know. Let's increase the budget of Resident Evil, or let's remake, I don't know, Elektra or some shit. But I think what it really is like people want things that are new.
Yeah.
Like if you look back, like Spider-Man had a huge opening. Iron Man had a huge opening. Wonder Woman has a huge opening. And it's not even really about the sex of the character. It's about, oh, look, it's a character we haven't seen before. It's something new.
Yep.
And that's what really is going to sell.
And yeah, because Spider-Man. We'll see more of that. Yeah, like Spider-Man, that was the first movie to ever make over $100 million.
On opening weekend.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and you know that. Crazy. I know it's a little random, but this is back on Dwayne Johnson. That rumored Big Trouble in Little China, like, remake.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he was Johnson's awesome. Going to be in that.
Yeah, that's all he does is effing remakes.
I guess it's easy.
Oh, that they're filming a fucking Rampage movie down in Georgia right now with him.
Jesus.
Wait, is that based off the video game?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to go see that.
I played a board game version of that. It was pretty fun.
Because the game's awesome.
Who asked for that?
I didn't, but I'm going to see it.
God.
So, a rogue genetic experiment gone away transforms this gentle ape into a raging monster.
So do you think next week Marvel will finally green light a Black Widow movie?
Yeah.
Because they've got their Captain Marvel thing that they're already working on, but it's like they've never gone and made a Black Widow movie, even though Scarlett Johansson made like that Lucy movie that did well, and you know she's shown, although Ghost in the Shell didn't do very well.
So you're wondering if Wonder Woman will trigger a Black Widow movie?
Yes, like if they'll finally get off their ass and make that. Or if they're just going to say, we got Captain Marvel coming, we're good. And
I'm going to say no for two reasons. One, Marvel wouldn't want to seem reactionary from anything that DC did.
True.
And two, Ghost in the Shell.
I figured Ghost in the Shell was going to be one of the reasons.
Yeah.
Like if,
one of the two reasons.
Like if that had been successful, then it, you know, maybe that would have been the thing that pushed him over.
But. You know, I watched it. They had like that 5-minute scene for that online that you could watch. And I watched it, and it just, the direction and the editing just looked dull as dishwater.
Mm.
And I was like, screw this.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I figure I'll probably watch that thing once it's out on video for some reason.
The Ghost in the Shell movie?
Shouldn't it be already by now?
I think it's pretty soon, like maybe late June, I think, is when it hits. Like a couple, 3 weeks, so.
I don't know, we're getting to the point where I think people just want something new in a movie, and,
yeah,
you know, Hollywood, well, I mean,
Hollywood's remaking that San Andreas movie.
Why?
Andreas 2, a sequel to the action film San Andreas. It's like, how do you have a sequel to an earthquake disaster movie?
Well, I guess the San Andreas Fault could have another earthquake.
Yeah, but... come on.
That movie was, again, it was good popcorn fun. Yeah, but at least it was not, like, a remake, and it was kind of fun. Like, it was him and Carla Gugino running around.
You know what we need? Yeah. What we need, like, if you think back to the 70s. I mean, I think right now, Jones, you know film history. Like, early 70s, it was nothing but, like, big-budget special effect disaster films. Yep,
disaster movies. Towering Inferno.
Yep. Earthquake.
That happened again in the 90s, though. With, like, Volcano and...
It did.
Dante's Peak and... Yeah.
Because the big thing in the 90s was spending money on CG instead of movie stars.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm just wondering, you know, when does the next Star Wars happen? When does the next, paradigm shift happen with films where something comes out that's, like, you know, completely different and off the wall that just changes everything. Like we had, you kind of had that with Star Wars.
Shouldn't that have been an Avatar?
You know,
that's what they were thinking.
Only thing Avatar shifted was movie ticket prices, 3D,
yeah,
in the direction of upwards.
Yeah,
I mean, I really don't think we've seen, like,
hate 3D. So
I don't think we've I don't think we've seen a paradigm shift in movies since The Matrix, really.
Yeah,
I mean, there's nothing been that. Yeah, I would say that. Yeah, I would say Star Wars, Jurassic Park, The Matrix were like still the three most prominent paradigm shifts in the way movies are made, or at least the storytelling style. And what's the next one? I mean, are we going to see anything in a world full of remakes and reboots?
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say.
Yeah, and again, when is...
I would toss the original Blade Runner in that group, Ben.
No. Blade Runner was a huge flop upon release, and no one gave a shit about it until decades after.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about it was a big hit. Okay, never mind. Okay,
well, like a hit, and it changed the way people made movies.
No,
you know,
Blade Runner did not do that. At the time, no one gave a shit. Yeah, Blade Runner is super influential on, like, video games. Like, if you want to talk about, okay, the two movies most influential on video games, Blade Runner, Aliens. But I'm talking about film.
Yeah, because Snatcher is basically like a Blade Runner game, except it's way better than Blade Runner.
Well, yeah, it actually can hold your attention.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't understand why people love Blade Runner so much.
Yeah. It's 2 hours too long.
Yeah, I watched it again a year or so ago, and I mean, it's like, it's okay, but yeah, I don't get...
See, Ben.
I don't know.
Transformers 86 that comes out next year, that's totally going to change the world.
What? What the hell is Transformers 86?
Your joke earlier was Transformers 85 comes out this year or this summer.
Well, it could be.
Oh,
so 86 is next year. That one's making
a Transformers shared universe, because I really care about Bumblebee's origin story. I mean, don't you?
Oh God. Yeah.
An origin story for a robot. So, like, we'll see, like, raw materials being processed in a factory and then stamped out of, you know, that actually might be pretty good.
We have to see how they became animated, you know, like how they came to be, like, you know, have personalities. And
yeah, the hero's journey of a piece of iron coming soon from Paramount. All right, well, I think we've bored people enough with this podcast.
Never. They've been riveted for the whole hour and 50 minutes.
Yes, riveted like the iron that made Bumblebee. Or maybe it's steel, who knows.
Your favorite movie.
I've never seen it.
Neither have I. I don't know how we never watched that for shitty movie night.
All right. Well, anyway, thanks for listening once again to the BenHeck.com podcast. If you have any questions or comments, leave them below, if anyone even listens to this.
Below, maybe. Where, who knows?
Yes. Leave them on the social media webospheres.
Leave them on the Twitter thing.
The we'll... internet superhighway.
And we'll talk to you next time.
Adios.
Later.